To lay a very good foundation for financial growth, I'm going to be coming at it from different angles. I'm going to be capturing my series this month as the business sense. Today we'll talk about the integrity sense. Next Sunday we'll talk about the negotiation sense. The skill of negotiation as one of the tools for financial growth. Next 2 weeks, we are going to talk about the core competence sense. Operating your business life from where you are called to, where you are equipped and skilled to. And then the fourth Sunday, we talk about the kingdom sense in business. So this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, the integrity sense. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1, the English Standard Version. Proverbs 19, verse 1. The English Standard Version.
He
says, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. The New Living Translation uses the word honest instead of integrity. That means to walk in integrity is to be an honest person. When we say somebody is honest, is one who is sincere, truthful. So based on the divisions on Proverbs 19 verse 1, you are either honest or you are crooked and a fool.
It is yes, Gina and someone our baby some noda. The ebaya no corizini ebezimu and other ebaya or kwasia da brabeni.
There is no middle ground. All of us seated here. You are either honest or dishonest.
Yena yet saying na ebia ezinu kwar and other da brabeni.
Honest in terms of your professional life, honest in terms of your family life, honest in terms of your social life, honest in terms of your business life, whatever. You are either honest or dishonest. There's no middle ground.
No kwarizi do owo weju mayim owo wa warim owo usikesem most many who confuse in kitawuzi that is in kwar anada ya da bebeni and fishini biara ni fimfi.
When you are dishonest, the Bible says you are crooked. I'm careful not to call you a crook, because a crook is more serious, because somebody can be crooked and not be a crook. Because when you're a crook, is the extreme form of being crooked. But before somebody becomes a crook, they might be crooked before they become a crook. So you are either honest or a crook. And the bottom line is that you are also a fool. The word crooked means to be bent or twisted out of shape. You are not straight. So we have crooked friends, crooked husbands, crooked wives, crooked CEOs, crooked in every form of social life and professional life. The bottom line is that if you are crooked and dishonest, the Bible says you are a fool. You are a laughing stock. The word fool, the root meaning is to be a clown or a joker or a laughing stock.
If you are crooked,
for some time you may be smiling, but very soon everybody will be laughing at you because you'll be exposed as a fool. So we are discussing financial growth this month, and it's very imperative. It's imperative for us to build a very good foundation for financial growth.
Now,
if you are into building, or you are building a house, one of the basic necessities of a good building is that a good building must have a good foundation. Integrity or honesty is the foundational virtue whose absence is indicative of ultimate failure in every endeavor. When honesty is absent, you can tell that this thing will fail. The watermark of success is sustainability. If you say something is a success, it means it's sustainable and can live beyond your time. Success will crumble on you if your foundations are weak.
It is a wolf of Pimeza on the Debia, a busy, a busy name.
There's a very important lesson I'd like you to read, passage Mark chapter 7, 24 to 27, that I'd like you to read thoughtfully. I want us to read it thoughtfully, because there's a very important lesson in Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, the New Living Translation. The theme is building on a solid foundation. All of us, we are building something. You are building your life. You are building your family. You are building your children. You are building your marriage. You are building your business. All of us are involved in one kind of building or the other. This passage is thoughtfully on foundations for a good building. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, the New Living Translation. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. The word foolish has come up again. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
Now, two beautiful lives are captured in this passage. Both experience the same adversity.
Paul,
they experience the rain, the floods, and the winds. One survived, and the other crumbled. The one that survived had a strong foundation because it was built on rocks. The one that crumbled had a weak foundation because it was built on sand. So you are either building your life on a rock or you are building on a sand. You are either building your marriage on a rock or you are building it on a sand. You are building your business on a rock or you are building it on a sand. Now the point is, this passage disproves the theory that the end justifies the means.
It is a siwa war wo botanda ojina esinwa nwema obubu esiwusika samwa botanda ojina esinwa nwema obubu na ninyina na chi yakede ewie yi no ochre za obesi.
God, there are some who say that what I need is money. In any way I can get the money. I can get the money, so I need the money. I don't care how I get the money. I must get the money. The end, how you get the money, and the means, how you the means to the end, is a very, very important factor in sustainability. So this passage disproves the theory that the end justifies the means. The end is I want money, so the means doesn't matter. The means matters very much.
See,
there are some people, the only reason why they live is money. I want money. The end is money. And they're careless the means as long as they can have the money. I use the word, somebody say careless. Whisper that word, careless. The opposite of careless is careful. The careful, they care about the means. Because they look to enduring riches, not fleeting riches. Somebody
say
enduring riches. There are two forms of riches. Enduring riches or fleeting riches. Enduring riches can stand against any adversity. Adversity is part of life. Parts of life is adversity. There are times when things are not good. And if your riches is not enduring, when adversity comes, it can blow away all your riches. You sell all your properties. You sell all your house. You sell all your lands. Because the means by which you acquired them was not careful. We call it fleeting riches. And some of us have lived to see some former rich people beg before they die. Very rich.
No, we will skip.
took care of so many businesses. Were owners of sports clubs and chairman of football associations. Chairman of football clubs.
Football club.
But their end was miserable. Because their riches was fleeting riches. Solomon has a certain name for fleeting riches. King Solomon. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, the King James Version. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, the King James Version. Solomon says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them."
I say, "Na mbatam one etu san boku one na unkosia one problem ye ase one."
So a fool can prosper.
Kwasia obotu muizie why a prom.
And when a fool prospers, you sit behind and say, "This man is a fool, but he's rich." This man, Jerry, I know him all. It means it's not bad to be bad to get rich. That's what you conclude. But the Bible says the prosperity of fools will destroy them. Amen.
Amen.
I listened to one former boxer. I'm very, going to be very careful. I'm mentioning names because of Facebook. One boxer, he was rich during his heydays. In recent times, he confessed that his managers didn't help him. Because in recent times, money has been tough for him. And he said when he had a lot of money, he used the money to buy a lot of cars. I know there are some footballers who invest in cars that they can resell. But there are some who invest in cars for a show off. Every latest Mercedes they will buy. Every latest Rolls Royce they will buy. Maintaining Rolls Royce is more than buying a Land Cruiser. I don't know, I may be lying. Because one tie of Rolls Royce, can buy about four of my car. Can buy four of my car. Brand new ones, not home use. Waste. So the prosperity of fools will destroy them. So the means, like I said, some people say the end justify the means, but the means to making money counts more than one can imagine. Because if you have a weak foundation, you can't survive the storm of life. This storm of life, you can't survive it if you have a weak foundation.
You see,
no matter how gloriously you decorate a lie, you can decorate a lie. A lie is never a truth. A lie is like a worm. You see, worms, they eat gradually. They destroy softly. Worms don't destroy at once. They destroy slowly. When you lie, you have introduced a worm into your value system. And this worm will eat up the cover slowly, slowly. Eventually, you'll be exposed. And everybody will say, "Ah, this guy, he's a liar."
You
see, we have terms in today's slang. We say, "Blow your cover." That's what a worm does. He will blow your cover. He will blow the cover away. He will blow your makeup away. He said, makeup is not who you are. Listen, we need to build our financial life on the right foundation. If you build your life on lies, insincerity, manipulation, cheating, it is a wrong foundation and it will not stand the storm of life. Please note what I'm saying. Note it very well. Some of you, it might not appeal to you today. But one day you will remember I said it. So integrity is what I described as a foundation for a successful life. What is integrity? Before we define what integrity is, let's define what integrity is not, briefly. What integrity is not. Integrity is not perfection. To live with integrity doesn't mean you never make mistakes. A man or woman of integrity is quick to admit it when they are wrong and make amends. That's a man of integrity. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I was wrong. Amen.
Amen.
That's integrity. So being a person of integrity doesn't mean perfect. It means being authentic. It means being genuine. Yes, I'm wrong, but I can be trusted. I made a mistake, but I know I can be trusted. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So sometimes we, the men of God, we are a man of God. One of the things we must learn to deal with is being accused sometimes falsely. We've been accused severally, falsely. I've had my share of accusation down the years. I've 34 years of pastoring. I've had my share of unjustified accusation, false accusation. Everybody will have their share of accusation. Amen?
Amen.
But if you are genuine, you know you are genuine. Sometimes you can tell yourself, no, it's wrong. I didn't do it. It's a lie. And you know from that. See, when you accuse me falsely, I'm not worried though. I don't get worried when I'm accused falsely. Because I know it's not true.
So what are some of them that I'm in home? We send that woman come in with me.
See, truth. Truth is like a cork.
No quarrel or tidal putty, see.
If you dip it into water, eventually the cork will come out and find its level because you can't drown truth.
No quarrel or tidal putty, see. And woman is saying, so as
you don't need to sometimes defend truth if it's not a legal case in the court. You don't need to defend. I'm truthful, I swear. Let's go. You're
going to be, sir.
When I'm accused falsely, I feel the pain.
So what you are some tomorrow? I am here.
But I don't get worried.
Because
I know it is not true.
You
need to adopt that kind of lifestyle.
The
thing they said is not true. I'm very worried. People will hear about it. And so what? It's not true. Truth, like a cock, will always come out and be on top of the water to give you a glorious testimony. That's truth. Amen. So, being a person of integrity doesn't mean you don't make mistakes, but you are genuine. You know from the depth of your heart that you are authentic. Somebody say authentic.
Authentic.
When Abraham and his wife Sarah were traveling and trying to find a make a living, they came to a land where the king was called Abimelech.
Into Abraham na no ka for Sarah were to kwa na wo hwehwe baby atena wo kodru asase bi ehe na wo fa na wo fa Abimelech.
And Abraham and Sarah decided that they would lie about who they were.
Into Abraham onye Sarah wo ya adwene sai kodo wo bezi akoshi.
So he told Sarah, anywhere we go, tell them you're my sister. Because Sarah, I think, was a pretty woman, even in old age. Very pretty.
Okay, tell Sarah that you drew out here in Bissau, Kadamuni, and you. Now, me, Jibis, then I said, no, yeah, okay, no, yeah, feel. When I'm brew, a yamupu.
So, who can follow your chair and enjoy your chair? So, who can follow your first saying him? I want to say him. Amen.
Amen.
So Sarah was pretty even in her old age.
Sarah
was
embryo were young, but now we are few, no we are humbucky.
So when they got to the land of Abimelech, they lied and said, we are brothers and sisters.
So what do Abimelech now say? Said, "Wozakoshi, what's he in your name?"
So Abimelech decided to marry Sarah.
Abimelech, oya na agenda oba wa Sarah.
And those days, when you want to marry somebody, they moving into a certain apartment and they take time to prepare them for the marriage. So it took some months, you know. And Abimelech had not touched Sarah.
Into Incan and say, "What will be? When you catch a baby now, we say, 'See, no, break a cream and sign a cool name.' Now, Abimelech, on fan and sanka Sarah."
So one day the Lord appeared to Abimelech in a dream.
So Dako, Yankupon, Ojin, watch Abimelech, what I assume.
I said, "Abi, you are a dead man."
I see, Uncle Abi, I will a your woof.
That woman is a man's wife. And this is how Abimelech responded in Genesis chapter 20, 5 to 6, the English Standard Version. Genesis 20, 5 to 6. This is Abimelech's response. I'm saying that if you are a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, it doesn't mean you are perfect, but you are authentic. And I want to show you somebody who was authentic in terms of integrity, Abimelech. So Genesis 20, 5 to 6, Abimelech said this: "Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.'" And look at that. Listen to Abimelech. I like this. He says, "In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Read that for us.
I see. Ana onunara anse me de machira ba na nuara mechira onara obano se de munua ma kuma mutsawe nye mensahu no kwankwon ye ma na maye iyi.
Abimelech said, "God, see, the thing is that Abimelech was not a covenant child. It was not a former worship God. He didn't know God.
Na Abimelech onye mi nyame on so mi nyame.
So why would God come to somebody who didn't have a relationship with him? What did God see in Abimelech? Even though Abimelech was an idol worshiper. This is what God said. God says, verse 6, this is what the Lord says. He says, "I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart." I
see.
This is how the Lord responded to Abimelech. I said, "Abimelech, I know you are a man of integrity. If you knew he was his wife, you wouldn't do it." And God says something that is very revealing. "And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." Abimelech was a heathen king.
Abimelech, no, your bosom assuming
had no covenant relationship with the Lord. But the Lord knew him as one of the men of integrity on the surface of the
earth.
So if you are honest, God knows it and God marks you out. Abimelech was not perfect. He didn't worship God, but he was authentic. A man, he was a brand of integrity, authentic. In his day and his time, authentic to the point where God saw him and knew him, that this man Abimelech is a man of integrity. May you be a man of integrity.
Amen.
May you be a woman of integrity.
Amen.
Who appeals to the hand of Jehovah when the need arises. When the need arose, God came to Abimelech. He says, Abimelech, don't touch this woman. She's somebody's wife.
What's Abimelech? Men from Sankan, or you'll be near.
Abimelech enjoyed the blessings of the restraining hand of God. See, sometimes you think it's your expertise that keeps you from fooling. It's not your expertise, it's the restraining hand of God that takes away from you the desire to fool.
Oh yeah, why do you know you win me see? One was in it to me, and yet the more. Oh, and uncle upon the son of Okrawa. Oh, you will feel a son of hope.
So it doesn't cross your mind. Charlie, guess chicks if you're orange, chicks if you're on the man. The restraining hand of God. Because they are crooked, they don't enjoy the restraining hand of God. Any girl who comes to the church, they like. They are proposing to every new member of the church. Hey, somebody come to your church. First Sunday, you propose. First Sunday.
How
much up had that? And who knows, girlie, chicky. You see, when you are in a brand of integrity, God takes away that edge. Bible says, for it is him who makes us willing to do his will. God makes you willing or not willing because you enjoy a certain brand. You are authentic. You fear God. You walk in integrity. And God knows how to come to you and take away from you the thought of sin, the act of sin, the work of sin.
What's wrong with you?
Every girl, new girl who comes to church, you must be the first to grab her. What's wrong with you? You are sick. Every new girl, if you are that type, I don't know who is that. If you are that type in this house, pray that God will have mercy on you. You need the grace that came upon Abimelech, the restraining hand of God. God says, that is why I've kept you from touching her.
Can I have an amen here?
Amen. When we say you're authentic, it means you are ingrained with values.
When we say you're
authentic, it means you are entrenched in a value system. There are some things you won't do. There are some things you won't say. That is authentic. So the people in your office, they know they can't come to you for certain deals. So some of these deals, they know they can't take it to this man. They can't take it to this girl. Because you are authentic. You are a brand of purity. You are a brand of honesty. You are a brand of truthfulness. That is the brand that enjoys the blessings of the restraining hand of God. We need what I call an integrated life. I'm going to explain it. Because integrity comes from the word integrated. And the word integrated means one. God is holy. The word holy means one, integrated. God is holy in your kitchen. He's holy in your office. He's still the holy God. He's holy everywhere. That's God. And to be a man or woman of integrity means you are one. You don't have a double life.
nti se ye beyin anada oba ezi no kwara e ye kwara enya abrabo ntanta.
See, some of us have compartmentalized our lives.
Ibinu ya na abrabo ntichem bebre wo mu o bebe ye zi no kwara o bebe ye jina ye tan chichem bebe wo ya na abrabo.
This is my professional life.
Iyi mejue ma abrabo nyi.
This is my family life. This is my social life. So there are rules for your professional life that you don't apply to your family life. There are rules in your spiritual life that you don't apply to your professional. Some of you, you are not one. You have a different life in church, a different life at home, a different life in church, a different life at the office. Shame. You have a problem. So when we have a church party, a party in church, you don't serve alcohol. But when you have a party at home, you serve alcohol.
Huh.
What kind of person are you? So your life is compartmentalized. In terms of, this is what I do when I'm not in church. This is what I do when I'm in church. This is what I do when I'm in the office. This is what I do when I'm with my children. I was listening to Craig Gosher. Prepare some of this sermon. I've listened to quite a number of men of God. Craig Gosher says that one of the easiest ways to raise rebellious children is to have a double life.
Also, them bury me. Also, when I buy for that better thing, my former wife ask, "Can you dare? What a wild brabo no yan tanta."
For your public life to be different from your private life.
Sunday, wild brabo I do show my no or shunshuni dem.
And you teach your children double life. You teach your children how to lie, how to cheat. Now, somebody is coming to visit you or coming because you owe them, and then you tell your children, "Tell them I'm not at home." You are not integrated. You are not one. You can't be trusted. Even your children can't trust you. So listen to me. When your children grow up, they will show you what you have taught them. Hey, you know what a rebellious child is? God help you. God help you. So have a rebellious daughter or rebellious son. God help you. One of the easiest ways to raise rebellious children is to have a double life. So your children can define you. So your children don't know what is allowed and what is not allowed. You need to be one, no? Don't compartmentalize on the office. We do this when we go to office, you know. And no, I drink small thoughts for my the dinner, you know. And you go to people, they expect you to drink because you also want to drink because you want a contract. You want them to think that you are like them. My God, if God can't give you the contract, let that contract go. Are you listening to me? You are not like them.
So
you have your private life. So you tell your wife, your wife can't talk to you about some of your crooked things you do, which she knows. And then you dress nicely to church and say, "Oh, daddy, hi, daddy, I said, daddy, for sure, daddy, this is my prophet offering." Shame. Prophet offering. And your wife don't have a say in your public life.
So one year on two fanano two abraham.
Now, husbands and wife who are here, last week you had marriage 101. This addition to you. Please, straighten up. Don't be crooked. Be straight. Your life ought to be integrated. Every area of your life should have Jesus there. Every area of your life.
We
call it integrated. The lordship of Jesus covers your professional life. It covers your social life. It covers your private life. It covers your marital life. Jesus is my Lord. And everywhere I go, Jesus is my Lord. I don't change the lordship of Jesus. Jesus shows up wherever I go, wherever I sit, wherever I sleep.
It's Jesus. Onu no ye eraze. Onu no oyo owura wo wa brabo na fene nyina wo wa wo same wo wa dwumem wo wujaze wo wukokuom wo wa dan fofam wo wa apontase be bia wo bia Jesus knows the hand wall.
There's a hotel I normally sleep in Accra. They know this woman as my wife. She's the only person when I sleep in the hotel that we can climb the steps up. I don't go and sleep in a hotel and invite a lady to come to my bed, my hotel room for a discussion. And then the staff, because people do that.
Yeah.
So the staff are not sure who I am. Am I a bishop, a pastor, or am I one of those Darga people? You come and sleep in a hotel, then there's a girl with you.
That kind of hotel.
So there's one hotel I sleep in Accra. And they know this woman, that's my wife. She's the only person who's allowed into the room.
When you don't walk up on you, only you be see about my mention. Monkwanka down on two and send Fabi Sabia, Umbra, Mayanak, and Quanqua. No one poor way you are on Abba Sam or Baka from home. We're born with Samia Bishop, Samia Dalgo, Samia Dabelbo, Abba Sam or Baka from home.
Integrity is an integrated life, one life.
Into Sayaka de Emuza, or Yabra Bokor, Ozimu.
Integrity is holy, you are one.
Or Yakonqua, ya, Ayakur.
You have one life.
The
same life.
Ababakona.
Professional, spiritual, private, social. You have the same life. It's the same Lord. It's the same Jesus who covers every area of your life. That is integrity.
Ababa Oziman. Oya Ababakor. Wa wajumem. Wa wacha problem. Wa be piere boko biara. Oya Radi Jesus. Nose yeno wa Ababado. Oya Ababakor.
So integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs.
Iyi no ma say ke de bibisi ma once ye onyu wojezi onyu no bomi yakor.
Listen, I'm a Christian. I endeavor to walk in love. I endeavor to forgive. People will hurt you, but I've taught myself that I will forgive no matter what they do, and it covers every area of my life. My wife knows that. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian only in church. I'm a Christian at home. I'm a Christian in the bedroom. I'm a Christian in your kitchen. I'm a Christian in the car.
Me ye jezi ni Christian ni wo baby ara wo me yenum wo me jaze wo abu anu wo me jumem baby am wo bia ni ye Christian ni ma ya crowd unko fu wo bafu meze na some the better one o sande me ye jezi.
I don't know you wrote me kade e daddy umpe. I don't know you can daddy umpe. It must be clear who you are. What kind of person are you?
I am a yimpa.
Why are you like that? Why are you double? Why are you double? Why are you like that? Your wife can't trust you. Your children can't trust you. Your colleagues can't trust you. Your church members can't trust you. Why are you like that?
Eben has in the answer them. Womba to me, Jonesy. Wedge my phone to me, Jonesy. Wolf, I feel no. Even why shall I remember what to me, Jonesy? Eben has in the answer them.
See, integrity is when you show. What you show outside must be a true reflection of what you believe on the inside.
Nti emuze no za eden ezi wa abo anu no odo ache wusha otu mu da da ma anu ti.
Hey, one young man told me something about a wife of his friend who immensely that in
jam obesi American ask him oyam oba mpenfu ni bi wonhen sum sori mi.
And they traveled as an office staff, and then she had an affair with one of the office staff when they traveled for the conference. Now she came to confess with her husband. That's good. She did well. But it's something. Something.
Oh, your baby.
Just one weekend conference. You fall into sin. It means you were already crooked before you travel. I can give you stories, but I won't tell you stories. I just want
to.
If you have passed for 34 years, you have a lot of story. You see, Proverbs chapter 9, I have to close here, but Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. I like this in the NIV. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Are you here with me? You need a certain sense of integrity to sustain your life. Osande, this life there will be storms. And when the storms blow and your foundations are not good, you'll be exposed embarrassingly. You'll be exposed embarrassingly. Have you not seen some of them exposed on TV? When they are caught by the journalists, investigative journalists. See, investigative journalists are not liked. Because they will expose you. They will blow your cover. Expose you naked. This is who you are. Everybody is on TV. Look at him. I pray that you commit yourself to a value system. Now, not tomorrow. Now, this is my value system. This is what I stand for. I'm a man of truth and honesty. I'm a woman of integrity, and I will do it till I die. If I have to die in integrity, I will die telling the truth.
So don't move up on a man canoquary.
I will go without food, telling the truth. We need some men and women who are committed to the Lord Jesus, who say we are standing for Jesus. We are truthful. We don't lie. We don't compromise. We don't bribe. That's integrity. We need some men and women of integrity. Because this age, there's something they call situational ethics. If you tell a lie, people like it. If you tell the truth, people are shocked today. You tell the truth, people are shocked. You find somebody's phone in the car, you return it. Today, situational ethics. To be smart is to tell a lie without being caught. Then you are smart. We call it smart living today. So if I tell a lie, I'm not caught, I'm smart. I'm an expert. That's my expertise. That is a weak foundation. This is a fleeting lifestyle. It will not stand. The storms of life come. They come in several forms. They come in several forms. You lose your job. You have an accident like Dickens showed us. Storms of life come in various phases. When it comes, what makes you stand? It's integrity.
The ultimate age in us, and who knows, only no crazy.
Mommy didn't know something. This morning, I was in a sorrowful mood this morning because we lost my big sister during the week, last week. My elder sister. She has lived abroad all her life. And she died on Monday. She was buried on Friday in Amsterdam. I've tried to get over it, but this morning, I felt it. But I had to calm myself because it happens to all of us. We lose relatives. We lose loved ones.
Please,
we were not promised a storm-free life. It's nowhere in the Bible that there'll be no storms. There'll be no adversities. There'll be no deaths. There'll be no losses.
Onye chọ somebody baby ada yẹn kọ shọ yẹn adọfo. E how run to yẹn anada yẹn for home abrabom.
Sometimes you are there alone. What will speak for you is your integrity. Bible says the integrity of the upright shall preserve them. Who's a real fool? The one who's crooked is a fool. Bible says the one who's crooked is a fool. So when they tag you a fool because you told the truth, it's a wrong tagging. It will stick. It will stick. I'm closing. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. We need a sense of integrity. Listen to me. The way things are going in life, it looks like when you are honest, you are out of shape. There I was speaking to some group of businessmen, and I was speaking this subject, the same integrity. After service, one of them came to say, Pastor Mberu, make you in a quarrel, but in them reason, businessman, Christian businessman. I said, Pastor Mberu, make you in a quarrel, but in them reason, you can't be truthful today and succeed. That's what they are telling us today. You must stand out. You must stand out. Abimelech poor onye nyamsumni oya busumsumni. Ozi tu na kumalo ya mekano kwa. Abimelech didn't know God.
Onye mnyame.
No chada ekano kwa nyamiyohu.
Yes.
Onye mosu otu chaje nyami tu chaje. So nyami otu chaje Abimelech. Sande. Abimelech didn't know God. Sarah. Into a big curse will come upon. Even Sarah moving into their house, a curse was ascended.
Sarah.
What is your value system? What are the things you agree to and you don't agree? What are the things you will do and not do? You must have a value system. And your spouse must know your value system. Your children must know your value system. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Your colleagues in the office must know your value system. Your church members must know what you stand for, what you agree to, what you will do and what you will not do.
Womba, woka fu wejuma ya fu. Odo wa uza awe ejizi za epia na za empe za onshumu bu na za onshumu wobo.
Oh, shabadi. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 and NIV says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. NIV. But he who takes crooked paths, you'll be found out. Ebua.
Osinya onanso tote no onanso sote.
Oh, Ebua.
Nanya ochiachia na akwa nozi obohun.
What does it mean to be walk securely? You see, if you do something wrong, and you know you are wrong, then you are hoping and praying that you don't get caught. You are not walking securely. You do something wrong. You know you are wrong.
You are
hoping and praying that I will be caught. Sometimes you will be caught for 10 years. Sometimes you will be caught 15 years. But sometimes 20 years later you'll be caught.
I am fear do denum in term one so and mum pause in fibrinet.
You are not secure. You'll be working 20 years insecure.
And I'm to yes watch in fear.
I watched a film. That film was so exciting. And I saw it happen in life. In that film, there was this tennis player who had a lovely family, wife and about 2 kids. But apparently he had an affair with a lady and has a child outside the marriage that the wife didn't know.
The man who came for what's our one baby now? What's a fair? Now, Papa, no, you be our, and you know him.
And his worry was that, what if my wife got to know? Because the wife knew him as a nice man, a nice husband. What if I got caught? So this thing worried him until he had a heart attack one day. And when he died, the girl brought the son to the house of the man for the wife to know that I had a child with your husband. If you do something wrong, it's better to admit I'm wrong quickly before it gives you a heart attack. If you have a baby somewhere, please. If you want to come and see me, so we're going to see your wife. We are talk to your wife quietly. Because you are killing yourself.
It is a baby.
A lady came to see me early years of this ministry. He came to see me. He says, Pastor, the husband had died. And then he was telling me some things that happened. So my husband died. This girl brought this 5-year-old boy to my house.
He
said, the moment I saw the boy, I didn't need to be told to. The boy was exactly my husband. He didn't allow the woman to speak. He said she collapsed that day. He said, I finally got to know that I didn't know my husband. I thought I knew him. I didn't know him. 5-year-old boy. For 5 years, I didn't know. He says, the man of integrity walks securely. If there's something wrong, you have confessed it. And spouses, if your husband should come to you with some breaking news, your husband might be dying. Dying slowly. Because you are always afraid that you'll be found out.
See,
integrity is when your private life is consistent with your public life.
What
you won't do in public, you don't do in private. Atta, what people know you in public, you don't do it in private. See, when you say private life, it's what you do when nobody's looking. That's your private life. So there are people who have a good public image, but a poor private image. Public image, we call it reputation. Reputation, or we call it personality. There is good reputation and there's bad reputation. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, the New Living Translation, Proverbs 22:1, it says, choose a good reputation. Choose a good reputation, or says a good name over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, reputation is what others think you are. Integrity is who you really are. And some of you, what others think you are matters to you too much than who you are. So you always want to have a good image. But who you really are is only a matter of time.
Dan Breton, on umbrella, yes, a man.
It's only a matter of time. It will show. And sometimes embarrassingly. A good reputation is a good name. We call it credibility. When we say you are credible, it means your word is your bond. That's I'm credible. I told one lady some years ago, I'm closing with this. She's in a group and she was made a treasurer. But in those days, they kept the money at home, not in bank. Something happened and she had to borrow from the money that she was keeping as a treasurer. Unfortunately for her, they were making demands for the money they gave to her. And she didn't know what to do, and she came to see me. I told her one thing and I forgot. I said, girl, one of the greatest components of your life is your credibility. If you lose your credibility, if your word can't be trusted, you have lost a very vital component of your life. Because it comes to a point when people look at you, you speak, they say, we can't trust him. If you lose your credibility, a very vital component of your life is lost. Sometimes difficult to replace. There are some components you can go to the market and buy spare parts, but credibility, have no spare parts. Credibility has no spare parts. If you lose it, a very vital component of your life is lost. At all times, tell the truth. You can confide in somebody your weakness to be helped. Why are you suffering? Why are you afraid that you'll be found out who you are? Listen, if you are struggling with some habits, it's important that you can confide in me or any of the pastors or our counselors. Tell them, I have a problem. I need help.
Last week,
a young man came to my office. Say, Pastor, I come to church, but I've got something to reveal. I'm 20 years old. I'm gay. I told him, is it okay if I tell Pastor Charles Chris because they are going to take you through deliverance? Is it okay if I tell Mrs. Baba? Is it okay for you if I tell them? He said, I want help. I want to be free. Since age 15, I've been gay. I've had multiple partners. I need help. Came to my office to tell me 2 weeks ago. I told him that once you've told me it's my problem, not your problem. Whatever we need to help you, we are going to help you. Because people have weaknesses. So your weakness might be something else. Your weakness might be something else. Somebody's weakness is gay. Why? They can't be helped. Your weakness is stealing from the office. A time is going to come where when we know people's weakness, we adopt to accept them and work with them and help them. That's what we must come to as a church. This girl is a lesbian. Great. He must be helped. We don't throw them away. Are you listening to me carefully? It makes for what I call a family church. Now we can help one another out of our weaknesses. Look, you are suffering. You are going through a lot of ungodly things. You are afraid you'll be found out. If you walk in integrity, you are secured. If you are not walking in integrity, you are not secured. Then you are something is eating you up. It's killing you. See, one of the words used for us Christians is we are hypocrites. See, you are either a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, or you are a hypocrite. Hypocrite comes from a Greek word which means put on a mask. In those days in Greek, when they were doing plays and drama, people put on masks. When you put on a mask, they say, you are a hypocrite. You have put on a mask. You are covering who you are. And eventually became a standard to judge people who are not men or women of integrity. They say, oh, you're a hypocrite. You pretend to be who you are. A hypocrite is a pretender.
And then I'm a pretender.
You have been pretending for 15 years. Pretending for 20 years. And bread, why? Why do you suffer like that?
Auntie, not there, bread.
It's time to do this. Everybody do this. Do this. Take off the mask. Take off the mask. This morning, my morning devotion, Romans 15, Paul was addressing issues of those who believe in some days are holidays, those who believe you shouldn't eat. And Paul said that if you are one who eats meat, eat. Don't judge somebody who eats vegetables. If you think Monday is your holy day, fine. If you think Sunday is your holy day, Paul says that every day is holy to you if you take it holy.
And Paul says,
if we judging one another because of our weaknesses and choices, please. Some of us have come from very terrible backgrounds from childhood. So not all of us have come through straight. So if you find out somebody who has a setback or weakness, you rally around to help them. You don't expose them and tell their story. You want to build a good future? Be truthful. Be honest. Be sincere. Be sincere to your spouses. Be sincere to your children. Be sincere to the church family. One young man whom some years ago, I said, "Daddy, better bump my mom. Get my chap and I'm cheering myself now. Let me be in the mumu." I'm telling the truth though. I'm a catcher. I'm saying, "Daddy, help my chap and I'm cheering myself now. Me someone say, 'Man, be in the mumu.'" Honestly, problem
me.
Can you be on our feet as we pray? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abimelech told the Lord, he says, "Lord, I'm a man of integrity. I will do this." Abimelech, it was a hidden. I don't worship, but I told God, "You know I'm a man of integrity. I won't do this. I won't take somebody's wife. I won't take somebody's wife." And the Lord said, "I know you are a man of integrity. That's why I revealed myself to you in a dream." God knows who you are. You can pretend. To your bishop, you can pretend. In this life, there are pretenders and players. Pretenders are not secure. Let the music go down a little bit. Let the music go down a little bit. Listen, Mr. Abimelech, on Kochapo, on sacrificing lambs at any altar, but he was a man of integrity. And he himself knew he was a man of integrity. Who do you know you are? What does it change you, Mohubia? Say yes, now.
Say your papa.
They beat me, Kadami, Mumu. Otimika, I'm Mumobasa. Typical Kipkose. When you know Mumu. But I don't know you. God knows you and you know yourself. God knows you. He knows who you are. And you know yourself. May you straighten up your life to enjoy God's blessing. The restraining hand of God that will keep you from going off the path of righteousness. Lift up your hands in a few minutes and make a commitment this morning. Make a commitment this morning. Lord, I commit myself to walk in integrity. Make that commitment.
Walk in integrity. Lord, I commit myself to walk in integrity.
I commit myself to be truthful.
My life will be one. In my
I commit myself to be honest.
And a church in my home.
What a pain sometimes to find out. To find out sometimes too late that your friend is not who he or she is or was. What a painful time sometimes. Make that commitment. Everybody here, make that commitment. Lord, I choose to be truthful. I set my will to be truthful. I set my will to be sincere. In my professional life, in my family life, in my social life, in my spiritual life, I choose to be sincere. I choose to be sincere. I choose honesty. I choose truthfulness. Father, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord.
Jesus.
Help us.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lift up your hands and receive the help of God. He's the one who can help us. He helped Abimelech, who was a heathen king. He will help you. He will help you.
Whoa.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.